All right, Psalm 50 for consideration. And if I was to ask you, in just about every situation, if you dug down and dug down and dug down, if you took the sin that either someone else has committed or you've committed, and you dug down deep and you really got down into the heart of the matter, what do you think the root of it would be? And I want to read in Psalm 50, verse 15. I love this verse here. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. It's a great promise from the Lord. And this promise is the conclusion of a section here in this psalm that begins in verse 7. Note verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. And so the conclusion of this is, call upon me in the day of trouble and I'll rescue you. But he begins it off by saying, listen. Listen to me. It's like a parent that looks at someone and says, are you paying attention? Listen to what I have to say to you. I am dad. your dad. Not just anybody's dad. Your dad or your mother. And so he says to listen, O my people, and I'm going to speak to you. And what he does there is he begins to go through and talk about reproof. And you want to see that in verse 8. He says, I did not reprove you for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. And he goes on and talks about those sacrifices. So what we have here is circumstances in our life or the reading of the scripture where God asked for you to listen to him because he is going to upbraid you for how you are doing something. And here he's calling this out to the whole nation. What is the thing that God is reproving them for? And I'm going to give you what that thing is, and I'm going to go through verses 7 through 15, and hopefully we'll see it there. The thing that God is going to reprove them for is the fact that when they brought their sacrifices, their heart was not full of gratitude. In other words, I started this off with the illustration. You have a sin, and you dig down what's underneath that, and what's underneath that, and what's underneath that. And what you're going to find underneath it all is a lack of thankfulness. And of course, you know that, but it's interesting to see that here in the Old Testament. Just pause here and turn over to Romans just to have us lay our eyes on it again. Romans chapter 1. When he talks about to the Gentile nations, verse 18, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. What are they doing? Well, they're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or what? Everybody see that? So here's the beginning of the spiral of depravity, where God gives them over, he gives them over, he gives them over. It all begins with this. They know certain things about God, both within them, that would be conscience, and without them, that would be creation. They know that, but they reject that. Why? Because they are unthankful. Now, I made this statement before, and I think if you've been a believer for any length of time, you know this. If you look around and if you would say to yourself, Is our nation getting worse or better?
Worse.
You would say what?
Worse.
And I've actually had lost people tell me that one of the things that they have noticed in our nation is a total lack of gratitude. Now, they're not applying it to themselves. They're just observing life out there and the way people are acting to one another. And they're saying, you know what? There just is no thankfulness out there. The deeper the depravity, the ingratitude eventually turns into hatred and violence. And so here we got, look at it again, Romans 1, verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But what happened? They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So here's what we know from that Romans passage. Here's what we want to take away. Our knowledge of God, whatever that is, however deep that is, whether it's conscience and creation, or whether it spills over into special revelation. In other words, you're a believer, you reading your Bible, you see certain special revelation. What should that promote in you? Gratitude. Everybody see that? In other words, when that's there, a thankful heart ought to come out. But what happens? The exact opposite happens. They become unthankful, and the lack of responding to the knowledge of God with gratitude does this. It darkens your heart. Everybody see that? Okay? You have a light. They did not honor God as God, nor were they what? Thankful. And their heart and their mind became speculative and foolish, darkened with that. So the knowledge of God should urge our gratitude, and a lack of proper gratitude in response to the knowledge of God, that lack of gratitude pushes darkness upon our minds and upon our hearts. I would say, I know in my own case, I would not have speculated that being unthankful would do that. Would you? I wouldn't think that at all. I wouldn't think that that's the root of anything. But it is. And so as we go back to Psalm 50, and we look at this argumentation, God comes to the people, to that nation, and He says, I'm going to testify against you. I'm going to reprove you. Verse 8, I do not reprove you, for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. In other words, what the nation thought was this, is that when God reproved them, He was reproving them because of a mishandling of the sacrifices. Either they weren't enough, or they weren't doing it, or they weren't regular about it. In other words, they say, okay, God's mad at me, so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to do some form of outward obedience in order to pacify this Lord who's reproving me. Years and years ago, and I still think of this man with great fondness in my heart, but one of his big stumbling areas in his life was giving. And I'll never forget, he came into my, he just kind of knocked on the door real loud, and I said, come in. I was getting ready for the service, and he just kind of swung the door open, and he said, Pastor, he said, every time I decide to give, the bottom falls out. And I didn't really have the understanding of the scripture at that point, but I was like, well, you know, you give whether the bottom falls out or not. But folks, let me ask you this. What was missing in his heart? He wasn't thankful that he could give. Right? He upped his giving because by the circumstances of his life or by the reproof of the scripture, whatever it was, maybe it was his conscience said, you know, you ought to be giving systematically and regularly. And he said, you know, I'm not doing that. I ought to be doing that. So he determines, I'm going to do that. So he writes that systematic giving check and he turns it in. He writes the next one and he turns it in. He writes the next one and all of a sudden his lawnmower breaks. He gets sick. All this stuff happens. And now he's upset because he thought that outward act, right? The outward act of giving would kind of, you know, put him in a better standing light with God. But again, and I asked you, you've already answered it, what was missing about his giving? Gratitude. Right? And of course, you know that, right? Galatians says God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is a thankful giver. And so God comes down and he says, now listen, I'm going to testify against you. I want you to know who's testifying against you. I'm God, your God. And I want you to know that I'm not reproving you for your sacrifices. And I'm not reproving you for your burnt offerings. And I'm not reproving you because you're not doing those things. That's what you think I'm reproving you for. And then he goes on and talks about those offerings when he says, look, I'm not reproving you about the offerings because I just want you to know I don't need those offerings. Look at what he says in verse 9. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. Why? For every beast of the forest is whose? The cattle on how many hills? All right. So what is he saying is this? What were the people doing? Were they giving sacrifices? Yeah, and they were giving it because in their minds they felt like God had a need. That's why they were doing these sacrifices. But God says, look, I'm not taking anything out of your house because I need it. And I'm not taking the male goats from your folds because, listen, don't you understand? I am God. Who created all this? I did. Whose cattle are they? They're His. Whose male goats are they? They're His. And then he goes on and says, verse 11, I know every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field. It is who? It is mine. And by the way, if you think I've asked you to give sacrifices because I have need, look at verse 12. If I were hungry, anybody imagine God being hungry? I wouldn't tell you. Why? The whole world is mine. And all that it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? And what's the answer to that? No. In other words, says, what's happening on that altar? They're coming in and they're offering these animals and they're cutting the throat and the animal is being burnt. And what's happening to the blood? It's being sprinkled. It's being poured out. All that's going on. And the false deities of this world all ask something from man, like they need something. God has no need. Can you just say those words in your mind? Our Lord has no what? Has no need. He doesn't even need you and me. And folks, this is exactly what Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 25, when he says, you can't serve God with your hands as if He had need. He has no need. The very breath that you have, who gave it to you? The very flesh that you have, who gave it to you? Who gave you birth? Who sustained your life? Who gives you the electrical impulses in your body to move? He does. Does he have any need? He has no need. So what does God do? The Lord says, I'm not reproving you as if you weren't giving sacrifices, and I'm not reproving you because, like, I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or I have some need that your temple sacrifices and your rituals that you're going through, even though I commanded them, were there because I had some void in my heart and I had to have that. So what does he say? Verse 14. He says, offer to God a sacrifice of what? Everybody see that? Folks, what's he reproving them for? He's reproving them because when they're doing the commanded rituals, they're not doing it with what kind of heart? A heart of gratitude. Do you find that condition easy to fall into? I do. To read your Bible in the morning with no gratitude. To check off your Bible reading schedule, but in your heart, you're not thankful you have a Bible. You're not thankful that you're up. You're not thankful that you're reading it. You're just what? You're just doing it. And you say, well, God, look, here's my sheet. See all those check marks? And the Lord says, I'm not reproving you because you're reading your Bible. I'm reproving you because you need to do this with what kind of heart? A heart of gratitude. He says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, verse 14, and pay your vows to the Most High. Now, under the Mosaic economy, and really even beyond that economy into the New Testament, requests were often made with vows associated with it. In other words, I've done that. I've actually made this vow before. I've asked God for a certain thing and said, Lord, if you would give that certain thing, I would express thanksgiving to you for that. Everybody hear that? So I got a request. Did I make a vow with it? I did make a vow with it. So if God gives the request, what's he expecting me to do? To do the vow, right? And so, and in my case, what I gave to you was a vow of thanksgiving. It could be any vow. And I want to pause here and ask you this question. The Lord is asking not to stop the sacrifices and just be thankful. He's asking that when you do the sacrifices, that you do it with a thankful heart. And in doing it, and if in seeing your prayer answered, you would fulfill the vow that you made when you did that. So folks, I'm going to ask you this question. Don't answer this out loud. Sometimes we make foolish vows. Ecclesiastes talks about this. Be careful what you say with your mouth. But folks, are there vows that you said to God and you're not fulfilling those vows? You're certainly doing whatever you asked for or whatever you expected from Him, but are you doing the vow or the promise to God that you said that you would do? You know, that can hinder your spiritual growth. Ecclesiastes says that God takes vows seriously. We don't always, do we? But He does. And you'll note here, he says, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High, and then what can you do? Folks, when you come to God and give your offering to God with a heart of thanksgiving and you fulfill your vows with that to the Most High, what can you expect then? You can expect for you to call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, and what's the promise? He will rescue you. Amen? He will rescue you. And you will honor Him. Now, how does that work? Well, you walk before the Lord with a heart of thanksgiving. You fulfill your promises to the Most High, so that when the day of trouble comes, and it will come, doesn't it? You can pray to Him. That's what we're going to do here in just a few moments. You can pray to Him in that day, and He will what? He will save you from it. And after you are saved from it, what will you do? You will honor Him, right? How? By being thankful. Everybody see that? Folks, when it comes to glorifying God, lots of people talk. They just want to glorify God, glorify God. The foundational way that you and I glorify God is by being a thankful believer. You take that out of the question, we're shaky. We're in trouble. Honoring God by being thankful is a glorification of God. And of course, you know that in the New Testament, it says to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving with your what? Your lips, with your mouth. So in the New Testament, do we have sacrifices? The answer to that is yes. It's the sacrifice of our lips. Thanksgiving, gratitude, praise unto our Lord. Now, I want to give you three areas just to kind of flesh this out a little bit. And these three areas are areas I just randomly put down out of my own life that I try to do myself. And the first area that I want to apply this to in the area of thanksgiving is when you pray for your meal. You do pray before you eat, I hope. Why do you pray before you eat? Why? To show you are thankful. Right? All right, now let me ask you this. Can you pray before your meal without your heart engaged in gratitude? So you pat yourself on the back. Well, I prayed before I ate. God says, I'm not going to reprove you because you prayed before you ate. But I am going to reprove you because you weren't what? You weren't thankful. Not only do I strive to be thankful when I pray before my meal, I think this extends to being thankful while you're eating. That's a tough one, isn't it? In other words, even if it's something you might not prefer, to be thankful for what you're eating. So first of all, I want to encourage you. And I just want to encourage you because I could be totally wrong. Everybody could be doing this. But just kind of whatever I'm sensing here. You ought to thank the Lord for your food before you eat wherever you're at. Years ago, I was very meticulous with this. Now, I think I've been saved about 1 year. You're going to laugh when I tell you this, and I'm laughing while thinking about it. I had a coworker offer me a piece of gum. So I said, well, thank you. And I took the gum, and I said, you mind if I pray? And he looked at me, and he said, no. And I bowed my head, and I thanked the Lord. And I put the gum in my mouth. And he was just, he's like, and this is what he said. I'm always quoting. You pray before you eat your gum? I mean, almost like that. And I looked at him and I said, doesn't everybody? And I meant it. I wasn't raised in church. I thought you were supposed to be thankful. And he said, no. And I said, well, they should. And I turned around and went back to work. Now, I don't think it's a sin if you pop a piece of gum in your mouth without bowing your head. Okay? But the point of it is that you should be a what kind of person? A thankful person. And you ought to thank the Lord for that. And even though we laugh at that, that's a beautiful, naive example of a young believer who's wanting to do the what? The will of God. Thankfulness before you eat, thankfulness while you're eating. Because, folks, it's not prayer and then eat. It's prayer plus the thanksgiving. It's eating plus the thanksgiving. And when you're thankful like that, let me tell you what it's saying. It's saying that you're giving gratitude for God who provided your need. Doesn't the Bible say, give us this day our... Doesn't it say that? When you thank the Lord for your meal, what you're doing is you are really thanking Him, not because, oh, I have meals every day. Who cares about that? No, you're thanking Him because you know that without Him providing that meal, you wouldn't have it. Secondly, and I've already mentioned this, is the area of giving. I haven't been as diligently reminding myself, like constantly and systematic on this one, but I do it periodically. When I write out our giving check, I always make sure that I engage my heart so that I'm thankful that I can do this. Everybody hear that? In other words, it's not, oh, here's a bill, and you're like Dominion Power, Faith Memorial, you know. Church isn't a bill. Now, we've all been there where we've written the checks because that's what you do, right? Okay? But try this, thanking the Lord that you can give while you're writing the check. And I always do this. Well, I don't want to say always. In general, I do this. When the usher comes by with the plate and I have the envelope, when I put it in there, I say in my mind, thank you, Lord. That will change your giving. It will change the way you look at things, right? Because I haven't always had to give. There's been times I've had to pray for God to give me something to give. And the Lord's not obligated. It's a privilege to give. Amen? It's a privilege to provide someone else's need. And folks, when you do that, Your thanksgiving, at minimum, is expressing to God that He's the one who gave you the monies. You didn't deserve it. It wasn't a debt that God owed to you. It was an act of His grace and goodness and mercy, and you can do it. Hallelujah for that. And then lastly, in application, and I really need to heighten this in my own heart and life, but it's in our prayer life. I don't know that many genuine believers think about what a gift it is to be able to pray. Is it not a gift? Yes or no? It is. When I was lost, I prayed to all kinds of deities, even ones that didn't exist. They never answered. Does God answer His children's prayers? That's a great gift. Praying in a day of trouble and expressing thanksgiving in the praying expressing thanksgiving. And you know the psalmist does that. He'll go through a whole psalm, except for Psalm 88, right? He'll go through a whole psalm, complaint, request, pressures, all this coming up, afflictions coming over me, wave after wave after wave. And at the end, you'll say, "Praise the Lord, for He is good." Right? He's praying, even when he's praying a request that is really troubling him, he's always having in the heart of hearts a heart of gratitude. Gratitude you can pray. Gratitude that He will hear you. Gratitude that He will answer in a righteous way. Gratitude because you are anticipating the answer. But folks, when He rescues you, when the woman finds the lost coin, that is really a great time to thank God. Amen? And I love the lady that finds the lost coin. I love what our Lord says, that she goes and finds other people to share it with. That's gratitude, isn't it? And folks, when you do that, here's what your thanksgiving is doing. It is acknowledging that He is the Lord and He is the only Savior. He's the only deliverer. He's the only rescuer. Whether it be sin or death, or whether it be putting food on your table. He is the Savior, isn't He? So folks, I want to encourage us as we go to prayer here that we just take a few moments. In fact, I'll open up in prayer. Brother Greg, I'll let you close around 8-ish. I'll open up in prayer, and while I'm doing that, pray with me, but also take time, kind of, you know, on the gratitude adjustment in the heart, you know, go turn that thing up, get it in tune to that, you know, we don't do this anymore, the FM station, you know, get it on the same wavelength as the Scripture, as the Lord. And it will make your service to the Lord light. And it will make your burden what? Easy. It really, really will. So let's go to Him in prayer.